Well, by my tally, there's now been 10 Victorian ministers, senior bureaucrats or security officials front this hotel quarantine inquiry. All 10 seem oblivious as to who made the call for private security guards to watch over returned travellers. Amnesia, it seems, is now a side effect of politicians who might well have COVID. But as worrying as the ever-growing chorus line of Colonel Clinks, who, you know nothing, in this inquiry happens to be, of more concern to me, and I think a number of Victorians, is this so-called COVID-19 Omnibus Emergency Measures Amendment Bill. As Ian Hankey wrote the other day in Spectator, if you thought the hotel quarantine scheme was a fiasco, imagine the damage and drama that could be wrought by this proposal. As he said, it's one of the most egregious attacks on civil liberties seen in war or indeed peacetime. Well, people are starting to wake up to this, but I mean, ultimately, it's going to be the Victorian upper house that has to put the kibosh on it. I won't be holding my breath. Ian Hankey joins me on the line. Ian, good to talk to you.
Good evening. How are you?
Well, thank you. I mean, look, you've looked at politics for a very, very long time. Have you ever seen anything as outrageous as this?
No. I can say that absolutely unequivocally. I've worked in politics 35 years, and I have never seen a piece of legislation put forward such as this, which attacks civil rights and civil liberties. It is unprecedented.
Now, the bill confers, doesn't it, extraordinary power to the Secretary of the Department of Health. And I suppose initially people would think, well, the idea is the Secretary can then appoint public servants as so-called authorised officers, sort of a, I suppose you'd say, like almost like a private police force, to wander around and check that people are complying with COVID rules. But it goes further than that, doesn't it?
What this bill does is, first of all, you're quite correct. It allows the Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services, the same secretary that has overseen the fiasco, which is the hotel quarantine scheme here in Victoria, it allows that person to appoint someone that they consider, based on their personal skills or attributes or whatever, to be an authorised officer. But more than that, it allows someone else to be an authorised officer. Now, the powers of an authorised officer, as would be conferred by this bill, is to give any direction that that authorised officer considers to be reasonably necessary to protect public health. That means that they can detain someone, it means that they can arrest someone, they can direct them to do whatever they choose. Now, this person does not have any training. We don't know how they're equipped. We don't know who's going to pay for them. They could even be a union official or the local council officer. These people are going to be given extraordinary powers and rights over their citizens.
It would remind people who can remember the Cold War, would it not, Ian, of some sort of Stasi relationship where neighbours could be authorised by the state to spy on fellow neighbours?
Well, I'm not going to go that far. There is an element of that. But what this bill does allow for is the indefinite detention of someone that might be a threat to public health. That is not actually defined. So an authorised officer could potentially detain someone without any recourse to the law. And that authorised officer, all they have to do is check on them once every 24 hours and then determine they are still a threat to public health. Now, there is no legal oversight. There is no reference to the courts. There is no review. The only access that someone would have is to apply to the Supreme Court for a writ of habeas corpus. This is extraordinary. It's never, ever, ever anywhere in Australia ever happened before.
And does this legislation basically override almost all other legislation in Victoria?
It overrides every act, every law, every regulation, except for the state constitution in 1975 state constitution, which actually doesn't really deal with too much of these issues.
No.
And the human rights and equal opportunities laws. But those laws, that piece of legislation is actually not binding on any other piece of legislation. It's a bit of sophistry to say that. So, no, this act would override every other piece of legislation in the state. It is horrendous.
Now, we're looking at some specifics of this, but I suppose it's important to go back to first principles, isn't it, and ask, Ian, is it even necessary to be giving more of the citizenry quasi-police powers to fight off COVID?
Well, yesterday the Premier was asked why this is necessary. Could he give one example of where it would be used? Mm. And he was unable to, because there has not been an example. There is no need for this. And in fact, it is extraordinary, bizarre, that as restrictions are being eased here in Victoria, allowing us to get back to a more civil society, the Premier chooses to put even a stronger noose around the neck of our civil liberties in Victoria as the virus is easing. Now, it's unbelievable. Not one other jurisdiction in Australia has any of these laws,
no,
or requires them, or even no, has asked for them. There is no necessity for them.
It's just extraordinary. And yet you look at the opinion polls for what they're worth. They're not always right, of course, but they seem to suggest that the majority of Victorians think that Daniel Andrews, who's behind all of this, is doing a wonderful job.
Yeah, I think that's a lot more of a complex question. From a communications point of view, once you use fear as a tool to corral people, which is what's happened at a federal level and a state level, then people will tend to go with the strength of government and support them. One of the issues that I have written about previously is that if you use a war metaphor where you give a personality to a virus and make it an enemy that we all have to fight against, then it imbues a hell of a lot of power with the state to fight this enemy. And if you're not fighting the enemy, then you're actually a bit of a traitor. And that leads to the issue. You raised the issue before about informants.
Mm.
Here in Victoria, with the first lockdown, because people were encouraged to inform against their fellow citizens, the Victoria Police had 80,000 calls in 1 month with citizens informing on their fellow citizens. This is the state that we've got to in Victoria, and it's disgusting.
It's very dark. You wrote recently for Spectator that these powers, and we've been through some of the extraordinary powers, but not all of them, given to untrained authorised officers, and untrained is an important point to emphasise, you say they could lead to shocking outcomes, particularly if citizens can be co-opted to assist.
That's absolutely right. Under this legislation, an authorised officer, whomever that person may be, can co-opt a citizen to help them in their duties, to arrest and detain someone. Now, can you imagine the level of vigilantism that could possibly come from that?
So the situation would be you've got officially police, then you've got authorised officers, and the authorised officers could then be asking third parties, which just could be Bob down the road, to come in and help detain somebody.
That is exactly what the legislation says. I mean, I was shocked when I read it, but that is that's the wording of the legislation. There is no specificity in it. It just says you can co-opt a citizen to help you in your duties. And remember, it says here the emergency powers give the direction that an authorised officer considers it's reasonably necessary to protect the public health. They can arrest anybody.
And for a long period of time.
Well, exactly. At this moment, under the quarantine laws, you'd have to stay at home for 14 days. It's presumed, although not stated in the legislation, that it would be for 14 days. But we don't know. It is not stated. All that's got to happen is that once every 24 hours, a designated authorised officer has to make a decision about whether or not to detain you further. It doesn't even say where you will be detained. You could be detained in your home or in a cell or at the person's house. This is how so lacking in specificity this is. It says nothing at all about informing other peoples of your detainment. It is an extraordinary attack on civil liberties.
And as for those who are to be detained, Do they necessarily have to have been proved to have been carrying COVID-19, or could they be suspected only?
Simply suspected.
By someone who's untrained, not necessarily medically qualified?
Yep. Absolutely true.
It's law of the jungle stuff.
This is... I'm almost lost for words about how to describe it, but I know it is not the sort of laws that you would expect in a first world democracy. I've worked in third world countries, working to support democratic parties, and this is sort of legislation that I would expect to be seen put forward in a banana republic, and that's the absolute truth.
Absolutely. Before you go, I spoke to Professor David Flint earlier this week about all of this, and I asked him about the role of the Governor of Victoria, because, of course, ultimately legislation needs royal assent. It's never a given that that would be plonked on any piece of legislation, although it just seems to happen. What role of the Governor here?
The role of the Governor, I know that a lot of people have spoken about this. The role of the Governor here is simply a rubber stamp. I would not expect there to be any difficulty with royal assent to this bill. The issue is that the bill should not be passed at all. And if anybody has concerns about it, they should be contacting every member of the Legislative Council and expressing those concerns. That is the way to defeat this. This is an egregious attack on civil rights and civil liberties, and it should not be tolerated.
Look, I'm very glad we spoke this morning. I'm sorry about the circumstances, but it's important that people, not just in Victoria, but all around Australia, understand what's going on. I think the more people that know what's happening, the higher the chance that some momentum to overturn it will occur. But as you say, it's up to the upper house now to assert some common sense on all of this. For your time, Ian, this morning, I'm very grateful. Thank you very much.
My pleasure indeed, and thank you for your time.
My pleasure. Ian Hankey.